Gosh, wasn't that good, the video? I tell you, I've watched that now a number of times as we were putting it together this week, and every time I just feel so proud to be a part of a network of churches that is doing that, that continues to challenge and push and to grow and to give and to love and to do these things. And it's amazing what has happened. When I look at some of those stats, just over 2 years, that seems like that should be a lifetime of accomplishments. And that was just over 2 years of what can happen collectively when people come in. So one more time, give it up for all of those things. All right, we're in week two of True Stories. And today I want to take just a few minutes and look at a story out of John chapter 12. Okay, so I'm going to read it in its entirety, and then we're going to go back and kind of look at some lessons that we have in John chapter 12. So turn there with me, or look with me on your outline or on the screen. It says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man that he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Pardon me. And then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will have the poor. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Okay, so this is an important story here. In fact, it's one of only 10 stories that is accounted for in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we've got three siblings. So you've got Lazarus, and he's got two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they're at a celebration. Okay, they obviously were people of some prosperity, some means, because they regularly, we know in other places of Scripture, they supported Jesus' ministry as he traveled throughout Galilee sharing the gospel. They had a home that was large enough to host this party with Jesus, his disciples, their friends, their family. But before they had this party, they had a funeral. That was in chapter 11. If you're not in the habit of doing this month, catch up now. We're reading through the Gospel of John as we make our way to Easter. They had a funeral. Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, was sick. And so they had sent word to Jesus because they knew that Jesus did miracles. They watched him do miracles. They sent word to Jesus saying, "Hey, Lazarus, your buddy, your friend is sick. Would you come and pray for him?" But he was delayed, and by the time he got there, Lazarus had already been dead. He was sealed up in a tomb for 4 days. And so when he arrives, the mood is, right, they're mourning. They're having funeral services. They're in grief. And Jesus says, "Take me to where you put him." And so they do. And they take him, and people, it says there's a crowd that's following him because they know, hey, this man, this Jesus does amazing things. What in the world, what's going on here though? We're going to a tomb. And so they follow him to the tomb, and he says, "Roll away the stone." And they're like, "Oh, you don't want to do that." Whee! Right? I mean, 4 days that man's been in there. He says, "Roll away the stone," and then he says, "Lazarus, rise." And Lazarus rises from the dead. And the people, the crowds, remember this spread. What happened with Lazarus? I mean, they could prove it because go visit him. There he is. And it spread. And his fame after this, he couldn't even hardly walk into cities. Jesus couldn't walk into cities. And everybody's in party celebration. Lazarus is alive. The only one who's not happy about the whole situation is Lazarus. Lazarus was with God. Right? He's like, "Do I have to go back there to that mortal body that I had down there?" So they're in a celebration right now. Many people witnessed it and their lives were changed. Always remember, God does physical miracles in order to do a deeper miracle, a spiritual miracle in people's lives. So this is a setting that's happened. This is when it went from a funeral to a party. This is the main characters of who was there. And now I want to look at just real quickly some lessons that we can gather from living a cannibal life. Because we don't want to just have an event where we did this one time, but we want a way of life to live cannibal style. So here's a couple of lessons from this story. Number one, you can fill this in if you're taking notes. Know your why. Know your why. See, Mary's why, the reason she could jump in and make waves and she was so extravagant and generous, her why was chapter 11. Her why, some of you are going, yeah, I've been through that bankruptcy. Stinks. No. Her why was the death of her brother and the resurrection of her brother. Mary is so grateful for what Jesus has done for her brother, for her family, for so many people. She's watched him, and now this, her brother rises from the dead. She was overcome. She had, her why was so much gratitude for this Jesus. And so she went and she grabbed what she could find, what she had, and gave it to him, poured out this perfume on his feet. Why? Because love always gives. It does. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. Love always gives. We see that. We see that in so many areas. Wherever there is love, there's going to be a trail of giving that follows it. Right? You just look at what people are passionate about. If you're passionate about golf, guess what? There's a trail of investment that follows it, right? Yeah, green fees, right? Traveling, doing all kinds of stuff. I get it. If you're really into design or decor, then what do you got? You got your money flows to Home Goods and World Market, right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about with that. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's what many of us have done in these last 2 years, is that our whys was the same as Mary's, is that you're grateful. Look what he's done. He's doing it in my marriage, or what he's doing in my family, or he's saving me out of an addiction, or he's this. And so there's this gratitude, and it's like, that's why we want to jump in and make waves. And though this cannibal season has been a very specific 2-year time, we want to live that way with our lives. All right, so Mary knows her why. Her why is gratitude for what Jesus has done in her life. That's why she does this. That's why she lives this way. The second lesson we can learn is give what you can. So Mary, the story tells us that Mary took this 12-ounce bottle of the essence of nard. That doesn't sound really... Can you imagine a commercial for that? The essence of nard by Dolce & Gabbana, right? Get yours today. No, nard. That's a seller. That's a selling point right there, right? Nard. I said, I don't know why. That's really striking me funny right now, just that word. Say that word with me, nard. But you know what that word really, I mean, that's the full word is spikenard, right? And so you get spikenard. Spikenard is still very popular. It's still very expensive. It's still very rare. It comes from, this particular one comes from a flowery plant in India's Himalayas. And so back then, this was something that was rare. It was expensive. It was only used maybe at weddings or to anoint royalty. And today, if you're, you know, into essential oils or anything, you still know that spikenard is very, very expensive. In fact, Judas is the one who said it. Nobody argued with him. It was true that this amount that she poured on Jesus was equivalent to a person's yearly salary. And so to make that relative today in the United States, an adult's annual salary, the norm, the average is a little over $56,000. Now, that is obviously maybe somewhere in Ohio, not West LA, you know, but $56,000. So this act was an act of love. She came and she worshiped him and she gave to him. It was a radical display of the love that she had. Judas scoffed and complained about it because he loved possessions more than he loved Jesus. But Mary knew her why, and so she gave what she had. She sacrificed this thing that she had in order to honor him, to love him, to do this for him. And I know that many of you have done this over the last 2 years as we've been going through this, that you've sacrificed. I know there's people who have sacrificed vacations or sacrificed certain things because you gave and you did and you poured in to make a difference. A difference not only here, a difference in our network of churches, a difference across the globe. You did that. And for that, man, thank you. Thank you for that. It's stuff that matters. It really matters, those kind of investments. And look, I also know, because I've talked with some of you, that you may be hearing and thinking, man, I did. I filled out that card 2 years ago. And I haven't been able to, I'm not going to be able to make it. You know, there's some things that came into my life. And I can't do it. And I'm feeling lousy. And so maybe you're hesitant, like, I can't really celebrate because I didn't keep that. Don't you let the enemy steal your joy for that. You gave. I mean that. You still sacrifice. You sacrifice, you worship God with your giving. Listen, here's the thing with God. It's never about the amount. It's never about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. Did it cost us something? You know what I'm saying? That we're not just giving them leftovers. We're saying, no, you, mission, these ministries, these opportunities, this is what's important, kingdom living. And so I celebrate all of you guys. In fact, there's, again, some who have come to me and said, you know what, I'm so close, I want to get this thing done. It just matters a lot to me. We're actually leaving the cannonball offering through the end of the month just for people to say, you know, I really wanted to finish up. And so know that. Every stat we showed there, every family win we experienced is your win. Is your win. You did that. We are a part of a collective story. So whether it's the 500 orphans that we're feeding and clothing and training and taking care of, how about this? The 4 churches we planted and 5 churches that we helped plant, 9 church plants in 2 years. And here's my favorite part about that whole thing is that 2 of them are in prisons, right? Woo! I love it. I love it. Upgrades here, upgrades in other facilities. You're a part of that story. Thank you for that. It's mind-boggling to me. It's amazing what's been happening. Here's the last point. Give while you can. It says in Mark 14:8, this is the passage that Mark quotes that parallels John. It says, she has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Now, I don't know if Mary really understood that she was doing this. Jesus did, though. Because just 6 days later, Jesus was going to be betrayed by Judas. He was going to be crucified and put in a tomb. So he could have went to that, he would have went to that tomb unanointed. But she did it. She could have thought, you know, there's a lot of people here. I'll tell him later, maybe when we get alone. You know, or he always comes back. He's a friend of the family. Maybe I'll do this another time. And, you know, she didn't. She seized the moment. She seized the moment right there while Jesus was in the house. She did what she could, and she did it while she had time. There was a window that she had. She seized it, and she came, and she worshiped him right at that moment, at that moment. And really, that's what it was. It was an act of not only generosity, it was, but it was an act of surrender, guys. It was an act where her mind was blown by just who he really is. And there was no price tag too big. She wanted to give it all. In fact, that's when you read in the scriptures, it says she let down her hair. She let down her hair. That was something you only did in marriage. Because it was communicating, I give myself to you. And what she was saying there, when she went and grabbed this perfume, and she came and she let down her hair, and she began to, didn't know what else to do. If you can just kind of be a fly on the wall in that room watching this. And she had to give her best, and she poured it out. And then she began to wash his feet with her hair. Just, how do I worship? How do I surrender? I want you to know I am yours. I am yours, Jesus. I am all in. And it says this wonderful line, and the fragrance of what she did filled the room. Just kind of lingered there. Now, there were scoffers like Judas who looked at it. He didn't get it. But you know there were others there who were going, She just did what? Look at her. And it churned something inside of them. You know it did. To where they were like, I want to live that way. I want to live that way. I've been living this way. Maybe some of them were like just believers or they're, you know, checking it out. They're like, no, she's brought it to a whole nother level. There's something that she did. In fact, the scriptures tell us that what she did, no other place in all the scriptures does it say this, that what this woman did here will be told wherever the gospel is preached across the world. There's no other act in all of the scriptures that says that about it. It says, what was so significant about what she did? Here it is. She got it. She knew who she was standing in the presence of. And there's only way, one way to truly, rightfully respond when we get it, that this is God. We go all in. We go all in, right? Because generosity, surrender, kingdom-mindedness, missional living, it's not an event. It's a way of life that he's invited us to. And so we want to make it our lifestyle. In fact, I'm going to ask the band to go ahead and come back up. We're going to close out with a song today. And I love this song. I want us to prepare our hearts to engage in worship, to let this, here's my closing exhortation. Make this your moment. Make this your moment. Make this the moment where you say, I wonder what he would do with me if I really gave him it all. What would that look like? If I said, you know what? I'm yours, Lord. I don't even know how that's going to work. I don't know what's going on. But I tell you what, the fragrance of what Mary did is still here today in this room. It's still affecting lives here. The fragrance of the way that some of you are sacrificing and giving, the fragrance has filled our city. It's filled our church. It's filling places where we're able to take that and go minister to that. And so what we really want to say is, Lord, more. I want more of that. I want more of you. And he's saying to us, by the way, I want more of you so I can give you more of me. We're singing a song called Do It Again. And because what he's done these last couple years has been amazing. What he's done in your life, it's been good. I'm sure of it. But he wants to do even more, and he wants to do it again. And so as we do sing the song in closing, I'm going to invite you to engage with the words of it and make it your mantra as we go into the rest of this year. Let's pray. God.